For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our UFA series today, where guests come on. They advocate for one particular UFA they'd like to see with the 2025 Baltimore Ravens. Joining me today is Juan Negrete. Juan, who's your guy?
My guy is Darius Lay, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sorry. We probably should have done the how you doing thing for a second before we jump right into who's your guy. But great to have you on. Your first time on the show, and I always appreciate meeting new people here. So Darius Slay, obviously one of the bigger names in free agency this year.
He absolutely is. Yeah, I think he, you know, when I look for guys that I want the Ravens to add now, I look for three things, which are, you know, I want someone with that talent skill, someone with kind of a dog mentality, and then someone with playoff experience. So I think Darius brings that in bunches. So that's who I would love to add.
He's 34 now, turned 34 on actually New Year's Day, it looks like. And he'll be 35 the next New Year's Day by the time the Ravens are in the playoffs again. And his playoff experience, I guess, becomes meaningful. But he just had a great year for the Eagles, and he really hasn't had too much in the way of down years during his career. He's been a consistently outstanding corner. Allowed a little more than 7 yards per target for his career. So that's in the range where, you know, I like it. What need does he fill for the Ravens? Where would you see him playing?
Yeah, well, I think he kind of serves that need of having a boundary corner. I think we would like to have Marlon in the slot. You know, that's what I've heard that the Ravens staff likes. And of course, we have Wiggins as one of our outside corners. But, you know, he's a young guy who's still learning the game. So why not bring in someone who is going to give him that, you know, kind of coaching mentality and also bring that experience in? So I think he would serve just giving the Ravens that option to keep Marlon where he's at his best and allow Wiggins to continue to grow. And, you know, if we have to unfortunately let Brandon Stevens walk, I think he would kind of, you know, very seamlessly, and, you know, a lot of the fans would be rejoicing. I think he would, you know, kind of fill over for Brandon in a better way. So I think that's where he fits in nicely.
Okay. So you'd hope probably use him at right corner then would be, he'd be a one-for-one replacement, or does Wiggins in your mind move over to right corner and start covering X receivers?
I think, I mean, what we saw at the end of last season was that Wiggins was gaining confidence. You know, I look at that Browns game, especially with that pick six, you kind of saw him carry that momentum. So I think he could absolutely be the kind of that sticky guy and follow the number one wide receivers. But I think having someone like Slay that, you know, has been on a lot of different teams and a lot of different, you know, championship caliber teams, like, would allow them to make that call. I don't necessarily have one view or the other. I just think he brings kind of that option for them to go either way with just making sure that they have those outside corners.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fair. And it's always, you know, corners get hurt, so you want to have backup there regardless. They had Jimmy Smith for, you know, a lot of years, even after he'd lost his regular job, but then they always seem to have a regular position for him at some point during the season. Slay's been, you know, a longtime veteran, might possibly be headed for the Hall of Fame. He's kind of probably on a track where if he were to play a couple more years, he maybe makes it. Yeah, he's gotten with Philadelphia now the Super Bowl he needed in order to you know, qualify for the Hall of Fame in that sense. So certainly got a chance to make it at this point. Some of it will be a matter of longevity. But he has played, you know, for now 12 seasons in the league. This will be number 13. So who drops off the back end of the Ravens roster if they bring in Darius Slay?
Of the back end? That's a great question. Well, I mean, I think the fact that we have Brandon being that UFA guy, you know, means that it's kind of like a one for one replacement. Okay. I don't really necessarily see right now off the bat. I know things change over time, and in the summer months, that's when we have those conversations. But right now I would see it. You let Brandon Stevens walk and you just replace him with Slay. So that's what I see. I don't necessarily see a guy having to lose his spot, which is the other great thing. I think what people fail to sometimes mention is that this secondary is very young. You know, like we've been very lucky that we had a guy like Kyle Hamilton come in and make it seem like he's been in the league for forever, but he's on in his, what is it? Fourth year I believe. Yep. So I think adding a guy like this is only going to help. You know, I think having Coach Pagano come in and coach the secondary, a guy like Slay, who maybe wants one last shot at another ring before retiring, that kind of might tip the weight a little bit. And he might be like, let me get coached by Pagano. Let me come in here and be that last piece that Baltimore needs in that secondary. So I think he, you know, would bring a lot of those things to a really young secondary.
Okay. I have not heard what the Eagles were planning to try and re-sign Darius Slay. I know the very first guy on wanted to talk about T. Higgins, and he'll, I'm certain, be franchised. But I honestly don't know what the situation is with the Eagles and Slay, whether they have any way that they can hold on to him. I know they do have a fair number of free agents that are effectively on the way out, and Slay's an older guy, so he might not be the guy the Eagles want to invest a cornerstone contract in if they have room for one.
Exactly. And actually, Ken, I was looking into that. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe from what I read, he actually has like a player option, or it's one of those situations where if he's on the roster after a certain date, then I think like a $16 million cap hit takes into effect. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. So he's already got a structured release for post June 1, probably. That's what that usually means, that they're trying to spread the damage over 2 years. Okay. So that's good. The house of cards is kind of starting to crumble for the Eagles, who have borrowed effectively two full years of cap putting their roster together. It's very difficult when two times in the last decade anyway, the Rams and Eagles have won the Super Bowl with completely contrary strategy to what I would ever want my team to go for. The Rams by trading every number one draft pick they had for seven straight years, and the Eagles by borrowing against the cap so heavily that they're guaranteeing themselves reset years in the future. And it did happen to work for the Eagles, and it might not have. You know, they timed it right with a wide open year. But the Browns used the same strategy, and it didn't work for them. And they now have an enormous reset they're facing.
Well, let me ask you, Ken, though. I'm curious, like, what would you, if you had a choice, like, you know, part of the reason I'm excited to be on the show, I always read, you know, your takes on different contracts and all sorts of things. But would you, you know, as a Ravens fan, would you want, you know, this kind of situation where they are, you know, taking these bold, risky moves and it pays off and they get a ring, and then you're kind of screwed for a few years after that? Or would you rather kind of that window always be open, but never quite getting over that hump? What would you take?
Okay. So it's a loaded question, because you're saying they're going to get a ring. And of course, if you can guarantee me a ring, I probably would say I'll take that. Most of the time, it's not going to work out. Even if it makes your team 20% more likely to make the playoffs, you're still very unlikely to go all the way, because you made the extra gambly moves to get over the hump that, you know, people say exists for this team. And by the way, if Lamar Jackson is the problem, and I'm not saying he is, I really don't believe he is, but if Lamar Jackson is the problem of this team getting over the playoff hump, getting Darius Slay is not going to fix that. It's not going to fix that.
That's a good point. You know, that's
Lamar
fair.
Could detonate, or the offense could do some stupid things otherwise and not get it done in the playoffs. So my general, you know, desire as a season ticket holder is to make sure that my tickets always are something I want to use. I want to go to the games. I want to enjoy Sunday. I mean, I don't get just one Super Bowl per year. I get 10 Super Bowls per year in terms of the home games. Then I get maybe we'll get a playoff home game, and the preseason even I really love to go and watch the games live. So it really kills me to have a team that is not going to be competitive for a season. And the times it's happened because of injury have been some of the worst years that I can recall.
2015.
So, you know, exactly. And 2021 and to a lesser extent, 2022 as well, when they lost Lamar at the end of the season, both years. So, you know, just it's a nightmare to know that your team isn't going to be competitive. And, you know, I think Ravens fans have really been blessed that the team has adopted the strategy they have of really levelized, make the playoffs as often as you can football.
For sure. Well, Kent, to your point, and I mean, I think any real, truly rational, you know, Ravens fan who has a second to at least think about their thoughts wouldn't actually put the blame on Lamar. But, you know, one thing I do really put the blame on after this last season, especially, is the defense not generating turnovers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now, they have, you know, they have had great defenses in the playoffs recently that, you know, have kind of limited teams, like Kansas City last year, even Buffalo this year, with all the mm-hmm. turnovers that we gave them. We still held them in check, but we haven't had that guy have that big turnover in the playoffs in a while. So Darius Slay, he had an interception in that Green Bay game last year.
I mean, all true, all that you've said. But one of the things, when you say this game is going to come down to turnovers, and that's something you hear from announcers all the time. They'll say, you know what, this game's probably going to come down to turnovers. What they're really telling you is, okay, one team is going to get ahead and the other team's going to try like hell to catch up, and they're going to trade turnovers for yards the way all trailing teams do, and you're going to have change. Well, the problem has been for the Ravens in the playoffs is they haven't had nearly the same success getting ahead of other teams. So they fell behind Kansas City in the AFC Championship. Even in the game they won in 2020, they fell behind Tennessee and were fortunate to come back in that game. But then they fell behind Buffalo. You know, it wasn't really a matter of they didn't have any defensive turnovers. I don't remember if they had any in that game or not, honestly. What the problem was is they didn't get scoring themselves and didn't get a lead to generate, you know, turnovers on the Bills in that game. And 2019, of course, they turned the ball over a bunch, but again, they were trailing the whole game. I mean, it was from the very get-go, they were down. So we can talk about getting more turnovers in the playoffs, but it has to be predicated on getting the lead in the playoffs and being able to manipulate that. So I by the way, I'm not saying at all that what the Ravens did in 2024 is an acceptable aggregate turnover level, because it wasn't, not for the regular season, and they need to improve that. But I will say, I think that they were in the right place at the end of the season when they were actually in the playoffs. The last seven games are outstanding in terms of how they play defense, and they went into the playoffs with the best defense in the entire league.
That's definitely a fair point. And I get everything you're saying. I'm just coming at it from a frustrated fan that just wants to see plays like the Eagles are making every year, plays like the Chiefs seem to make in that critical mm-hmm. moment, even Buffalo in our game. So I just want someone who brings that juice. And, you know, at the end of the day, today we're talking about why I think Slay makes that kind of addition, and I think he brings that juice that we were missing ever since.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
We haven't had Marcus Peters, basically.
Okay. I'm going to say one more thing on this topic. I'm reviewing the 2000 season again right now using my current methods of analysis and doing a little more than I had the first time I reviewed it. One of the things about the Ravens playoffs, they out-took-away'd 11-2 in the playoffs. They had two turnovers, but they still won the turnover battle, I think 5-2 against the Raiders in the AFC Championship, but they won it 5-0 in the Super Bowl, and I think it was 1-0 against Denver. It might have been nothing. No, it wasn't, because it was 1-0 against Tennessee. So it might have been 13-2. But either way, that wasn't a function of the Ravens offense being so turnover proof or exceptional about taking care of the football. I mean, they didn't take any chances with the football because the defense didn't make them take any chances with the football. And the defense constantly had the other team in a hole and were able to force them to take some very stupid chances with the football. And they made that work out. It's you have to, but it's predicated always on having the lead. And they basically never trailed in that postseason except for the you know, 7-0 to Tennessee. They never trailed by more than 3 points that whole postseason.
No, that's crazy. And yeah, I mean, really, it just comes down to the fact that, Ken, this sport is so unpredictable. You know, you can think you have all the ingredients. You can think you have the game plan. You know, we have one of the best running games in the league. We have, like, a great defense. We have everything that we need to win a championship, like Hamilton said this offseason. So at the end of the day, you know, everyone that we're talking about adding this offseason, you know, they may or may not make a difference. But obviously we're hoping as fans that we make that one move that does finally.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's great. And Darius Slay, certainly a player who would help the Ravens. Let's get back to where we were on him in terms of how the Ravens totem pole at cornerback looks. I think that the one loser in this situation would be TJ Tampa, who certainly is going to make the team in his second year, but he gets reslotted down to the 4 cornerback instead of the 3. Could even be lower than that if Ardarius Washington is moved back to slot corner. And we'll see how that plays out. You mentioned, I think you're correct in saying that the Ravens are more likely to want Humphrey in the slot for most of the season, but I think they also want to get another safety and get Hamilton moved back down for some big nickel packages. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. Obviously, you can never have enough corners. You really can never. And if a couple of them are older, like Slay and Humphrey, you want to have options. But I do think that they'll be paying a lot of money and have a lot of draft capital in the case of Wiggins tied up in 3 outside cornerbacks if they really want to move Hamilton back for a fair amount of nickel.
No, yeah, that's a great point. And just kind of piggybacking on that TJ Tampa point, he was actually the guy I was looking at, like you said, being the biggest loser of adding Slay. Mm-hmm. I forget what there was one of those really great draft gurus that had a podcast recently that was talking about how much the Ravens love Tampa. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. No. I forgot who it was. It was it might be wrong, but I think it's that might have been like the Move the Sticks one or something. But they mentioned that the Ravens front office is really excited about TJ Tampa and really believes in him. So I mean, he would kind of be a loser, but like you said, and I don't know who coined the phrase with the Ravens, if it was Ozzie Newsome or DaCosta on you can never have enough corners, but that really is the one position that I feel like, you know, you really can't afford to be limited there. So I think even if we're seeing some guys move down and maybe their development be a little bit delayed, I'd rather just have those you know, that great insurance with a guy like Slay being on board.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm okay if Tampa's development is stunted a little bit with, you know, I'd probably like to see him get 150 to 200 snaps this year minimum, which means he's going to have to get some solid rotational play, not just mop-up play. He could get 60 snaps with mostly mop-up play, but if he gets 200 snaps, it means he's probably going to start a game at some point. He's going to have to play significantly in relief of somebody, perhaps due to an injury. But I'd like to see him get some significant on-field time that gives us a hint of who he is. Otherwise, it's almost you're getting it to be too late. That he's moving along. The other guy who fits into the cornerback discussion is, what about Tre'Davious White? Are you not re-signing him if you assign Slay?
So Trey White scares me a little bit because he, you know, right before coming to the Ravens last year, it wasn't looking great for him, right? He had been in like 3 different homes and 2 seasons or whatever it was. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was one of the most exciting corners in the game not too long ago, and he did look great for us in spurts, but he did have that costly, pass interference call, which I didn't agree with, you know, but he still cost. So to me, I don't know. He's one of those where I think he could have a great season, but he could also, you know, kind of fall off. He's truly a wild card to me. So I don't like banking on guys like that where you don't know for sure. I would love to have him back if he comes back on like, close to the veteran minimum or something like that. But
that's the question. Would you rather have? We haven't got into the price you want to pay for Darius Slay, which is the next one. Well, why don't we do that first? What price are you willing to pony up for Darius Slay, and what term of contract?
So I mean, I'm only giving him a 1-year contract. Okay. He's already made it very vocal everywhere that he only wants to play one more season. So I'm giving him something in that $6 to $8 million range, which I know is pretty high, but I think, you know, with his experience and all of the pros I've talked about, I think $6 to $8 million for one season of, you know, after experiencing Ray Lewis kind of end on a Super Bowl note, I would love to have his story of him coming into the team that almost signed him 2 years ago and having him ride off into the sunset with us, back-to-back Super Bowl wins for him with two different franchises. So I would be willing to pay that. I know that's a little high for some people maybe, but that's where I would be willing to go with that.
Okay. And that might get it done, or there might be another bidder out there. That's 2 years, $24 million for Slay after the year he had. I don't think I'd be shocked at that. You know, he paid 946 snaps last year. He's played at least 850 snaps. Well, he's played at least 800 snaps every year except for his rookie year for 11 straight years. So that's a very healthy, durable cornerback. I think there's probably somebody who's going to offer him a 2-year deal. He said 1 year. And also, you got to worry about an old maid contract with a 35-year-old corner, is that he may sign for two and only want to play one, or he may sign for two, win the Super Bowl, and may want to retire, in which case you don't get the full value. You don't have the full option value of that second year.
For sure. So
that's happened with Ed Reed, Marshall Yanda, Derek Mason in the past, that they've a whole bunch of 2 years to make one deals. And that's the way it looks to us as fans. I mean, I'm sure the Ravens understand the risks when they set up a contract like that, while there's a pretty good chance he's going to be gone after 1 year. And they, you know, they've understood it with certain players.
Yeah. Well, with everything that I saw leading up to this discussion, he sounds like a guy who's very adamant about 1 year. And I think with that, he's kind of looking at this as not who's going to give me the most money, but who's going to give me the best chance to win one more and also get a decent amount. So I think a 1 year, $8 million, you're right, maybe $10 million could get it done. But I mean, I wouldn't be surprised either if there are higher bidders, but I just get the impression that he's kind of ready to have one more season and really play for someone that gives him a great chance to win.
Okay. So now I'll come back to the previous question. Let's say you can have Slay for 1 year for $8 million, and it's an $8 million effectively guaranteed. And what I mean by that is, however they structure the contract in terms of future void years, whatever, your effective contribution on him is 1 year for $8 million. Okay. Now I want to compare that to Tre'Davious White. And let's say Tre'Davious White can be had for the vet minimum with NLTBE bonuses earned up to $4 million. Okay. So $1.5 million up to $4 million. Which of those two do you want?
Me personally, I'm still riding with Slay because I think he's a safer bet. I think his production hasn't dipped, you know, the way that a Tre'Davious White has. I also think he brings that Super Bowl pedigree, that those big playoff moments that, you know, I'm not a huge Bills fan, obviously, you know, with the Twitter beef we've had, but I haven't, you know, I can't recall one big moment Trey White had in a playoff game.
Didn't Trey White play in a bunch of Super Bowls with Buffalo? I got the impression they'd been to the Super Bowl a number of times.
You know, that's what they make it sound like. Or has he picked off Mahomes or something? You know, that's what they make it sound like. So I think I would take, I would still take Slay just because he's more of a, even though he's older, he's more of a safe bet to me, which might sound crazy, but I mean, Slay is a dog. You know, there's like that intangible about him where you just look at him and he's like, he's just one of those players you want on your team.
Okay. Well, fair enough. You know, I really do like what we saw from Tre'Davious White, but I like Slay as well. He's a great player. That's for sure. And I think he's still got something left in the tank, which is why I don't think he's probably going to be cheap. I had, you know, in trying to do these episodes, we have to do early the ones for the high pedigree free agents that are going to go early in the you know, have dance card early dates that they sign. Because if we air the show after he's already signed, it's lost a lot of its timeliness. So we don't want to do that. So Slay is one of the ones I'm scheduling to be upfront because I think he'll be one of the early signees. I don't think he's going to wait till after the draft to be signed, for example. Now, if I'm wrong about that, I'm wrong about that. But I think there's a multi-year deal out there for Darius Slay. It may be three to make two. It may be two to make one. But I think there's a multi-year deal out there for Darius.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right. Juan, great talking football with you. You're very knowledgeable and you brought a lot to this discussion. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Yeah, so I'm on X with everyone over there on Ravens Flock. My handle is Juan Million Bucks. I'm trying to make that my brand. So I don't really have anything else branded that way. So yeah, just find me on X and I'm excited to talk to everyone.
All right. Outstanding. I really appreciate you coming on. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do a film study short of any sort, now I'll give you a few examples. You can do a UFA pod if you want that. You could do a trade suggestion if you want to do that. And if you have any sort of a graphic, and you don't even have to do this pod, if you can forward to me a graphic that you think is outstanding information, including what it says about the Baltimore Ravens, I'll reach out to the guy who originally did the work and have them come on the pod and vet how they put together this information and whatnot. And I've really enjoyed doing that with a number. We've got one show coming up that I know people are going to be into because they know how I feel about tackle arm length, but there's a wonderful graphic out there about tackle arm length and how significant it is on whether players stay at offensive tackle coming out of college or they move into guard or even center. So that ought to be a lot of fun to do that one. But please hit me up. DM's always open on Twitter. Juan, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks so much, Kenny. It was great talking with you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.